Amen. We've been talking about Thanksgiving. I want to end up with one more message about it. The secret door is our context. And we've talked about, because Jesus said, I'm the door. Jesus is the door, and Jesus is the word, John 1:1 and verse 14. And he said, anybody who comes through me is going to be saved. But then he continued and said, and will go in and out and find pasture. That in and out can't mean salvation, because God never intended your walk with him to be high on Sundays and low on Wednesday. Can I get an amen? It's never a roller coaster ride. It's not a matter of you always having to repent on the weekends for what you've done. No, God wants you to know that your walk with God, that you should be established and secure as you're growing in the things of God. Now, if you're a baby Christian, it takes time to resolve that and understand that and to identify who you are in Christ. But as you grow, Jesus said, I'm the doorway to salvation. But then he goes on to say, then you have the access to come in and out. Well, where are you going in and out? He said, to find pasture. We discussed and saw from the word of God that the word pasture there means all the things that you need for life. So everything you need comes from the word of God and from God himself. The Bible says that all good things come down from the Father of light. The Bible says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so many times our first knee-jerk reaction to the challenges of life is to look to the solutions of the world when we're dealing with the challenges of the world, and we begin to act like the world in our response to those problems. But the Word of God tells us that we are different. Yes. Say, I am different. Peter says, we're a peculiar people, which doesn't mean that peculiar, how you define it. It literally means in the original text that you are cut above the rest, that you are uniquely different. It doesn't mean you're narcissistic. It doesn't mean that you're self-centered. It doesn't mean that you're prideful. It doesn't mean that you think you're better than everybody else. But it does say and understand that as a child of God, as a son of God, as a daughter of God, that you understand that there is a level of life provided for you from heaven that you don't have to tolerate what belongs to the world, that you can be exempt from what the world's dealing with. David said, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The world will fear, but you don't have to. Can I get an amen? Amen. There is a standard of living that God's called you to live, and it's just not in a matter of sin. And most people, that's where they get stuck at. Oh, with the things you can't do or the things you have to do. But you have to understand, just like the prodigal son who came to himself, he came back to the reality of who he was in relationship to his father. And he said to himself, why am I staying here? Even my father's servants have more than enough. What was he doing? He was awakened to the generosity of his father that he had known but had forgotten. There's a lot of people in the world today that have at one time knew the goodness of God but have walked away. I believe it's God's call for us to celebrate, to live a life, to be a banner, a billboard, if you will. Jesus said, a light, so that they can be reminded of the goodness of God, that whatever challenges they're dealing with, that God still loves them, and he can get them out of it, and he can bring back into their life all that belongs to them. And when the son, the Bible says, came back running, he says, I'm going to go repent and say, I don't even deserve to be a son. Just make me a servant, because that's good enough. As a servant, that's pretty good. As a servant, it's not too bad. As a servant, it's a lot better than this. But if a servant's good, how much more than is to be a son or a daughter? And as he approached the father, the Bible says, the father saw him from afar off. I'm glad that the eye of God is on each and every one of you. I'm telling you, your heavenly father sees everything, knows your heart, and he loves you. You might not be perfect, but if your heart's right, keep pursuing him. Because as you pursue him, James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And as the prodigal began to move toward the father, the Bible says that the father saw from afar off and he began to approach him too, run. And he said, Father, I have sinned between heaven and you. I have done the wrong thing. I repent. Let me be a servant. Let me be just an employee. Let me be just somebody accepted in your organization, because a servant is a pretty good deal. And the father said, no, that's not good enough. Look to your neighbor and say, that's not good enough. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, that's not good enough. This is not being egotistical. This is not being prideful. But when you understand the standard of the Father, when you understand the heart of your Heavenly Father, when you understand what he's provided by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary for you, you can look at the situations of life. And though so many times we lower our own standard and say, Father God, let me just have this. That should be good enough. Let me just have the crumbs. Let me just be close to the table. Let me just get the resonation of the benefit of you walking by. Let me just get a little bit of what's available to me. And the Father says, no, that's not good enough. You might not always fight for what belongs to you, but your Heavenly Father will keep compelling you, keep encouraging you, keep directing you and leading you to say, listen, that's not good enough. I have more in store for you. Amen. The Father said, that's not good enough. I don't want you to be a servant. I don't want you to be an employee. I want you to come to the position that I have provided. Your Heavenly Father is even beckoning you to this morning. You've been in a place, many of you, that you're no longer in the place that you know you should be. And you say, well, I'll just show up a little bit. I'll just be a little bit good. And the Father said, no, that's not what I have for you. I have so much more. And I want you to come into the position. I want you to come into the place. I want you to come into the benefit that rightfully belongs to you by what I provided. Come on, give them an amen if you believe that. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. Don't accept what the devil will tempt you with and say, this should be good enough. No, something on the inside, the Word of God and the Spirit of God just say, I know this is what most people would just say, that should be good enough. Have you ever had somebody in the natural, maybe in a casual relationship or family or friends saying, you should be just happy with what you have and quit wanting more. You shouldn't be praying for more. You shouldn't be believing for better life. You shouldn't be praying for increase or for success. You should just settle where you're at. It's good enough. At least you're not in the pit. At least you're not in the pit. But God say, no, if I've called you to the palace, don't stay in the pit. Don't stay in the prison. There's a time where I'm going to call you and I'm bringing you out in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to bring you to what is rightfully belonging to you by the Word of God and the blood of Jesus. You have a place. You have a place. You have a place. There's a place of blessing, a place of healing, a place of provision, a place of peace. Even God told the prophet when he was by the stream and was being fed by the ravens, and one day the stream dried up and he stayed there. Many people run when the stream gets dry, but the prophet refused to move until he heard the Word of God. And he said, the Bible says that the prophet stayed by the stream, and then God spoke to him and said, listen, I want you to go there because I have commanded a widow woman to bless you. The blessing is there. And many times we don't realize that God has already made provision. It's already provided. It's already provided. Your eye maybe has not seen it. Your ear maybe has not heard it. Maybe it's not entered your heart, the Bible says, or into your mind. But God has prepared all these things for you, but he reveals them to you by his Spirit. The Word of God is revealed to you by the Spirit of God to remind you what's your place in life, what you should accept, what you should reject, what you should embrace, what you should say, wait a minute, that's not from my Father. That's not from my Father. I know it's knocking on the door. I know it's knocking on the door. I know it's calling and compelling and trying to lure me away, but that's not what the Word of God says. I'm not going to settle. I'm not going to embrace. I'm not going to try to receive that because that's not good enough. Yeah. Shout, not good enough. You say, well, that's being greedy. No, greed is wanting what does not belong to you that belongs to somebody else. I'm telling you, if something has been purchased for you by the Heavenly Father, by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, if he's purchased for you, don't you think you should want it? Don't you think you should receive it? We're celebrating the season of Christmas, and many of you will buy a present for somebody. Can you imagine taking time, and just not randomly buying a present, but thinking about it, planning it, strategic working on it, and spending money on it, a large sum of money, and that you're so proud. When you buy the what you feel is the perfect gift, you get so proud, aren't you, about that gift you have. I get more excited about that gift, giving it, than I have receiving it. I'm terrible. I'll even wrap it and hide it, but I'm so excited, I'll try to give it before it's Christmas. I'll tell my daughter, come on, let me give you that present now. No, Dad. I mean, she's so mature at her age. I'm like, come on, let me give it to you. Most kids would be like, yeah. She's like, no, I'll just wait. I'll just wait. No, I want to give it to you now. I'm more excited than she is because I know what's in there. I know what it cost me. I know the planning went into it. Well, when your Heavenly Father has purchased something for you on the cross of Calvary, he is so excited. He's so excited. He's so excited. He's so excited. Jesus said it. Listen, it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Say, it's my Father's pleasure to give me the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. The Father doesn't say, here, I have it. I'm so excited, but I don't want you to give it. He doesn't do that. He wants you to have it. Just like on Christmas, if you go to hand somebody a gift, say, I bought this for you. I put a lot of time, and they're like, nope, I don't think I deserve it. I don't care what you deserve. This is not all about you. This is about me. Now you open that gift. Come on, right? And you're going to like it. Because I didn't buy it to wrap it. I bought it so that you have it. A lot of Christians, somewhere in the Christian world and in the religious world, we've got that we thought it's being humble and spiritual not to activate and receive all that your Heavenly Father has for you. Well, all I need is just to barely make it in heaven. I don't need all the benefits of the covenant. I don't need the goodness of God. I don't need the joy of the Holy Ghost. I don't need the peace of God. No, no, no. All I need is just a little bit, just enough. Just give me a crumb or two so I barely make it as I'm crawling through into eternity at the last second, I'll be the last one to barely make. Someone will get a hold of and pull me through into eternity. That's not going to please your Father. There's no pride in that. That's not being humble. That's missing out what belongs to you. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come" in the sample prayer. "Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If it's in heaven for you there, then you can access it by faith here. If it's not in heaven, then you don't have to receive it. Here, you have authority. Amen. Shout, not good enough. Come on, work with me. Shout, not good enough. When the devil tries to entice you and tempt you and offer you and sell you, don't tell me he doesn't. He does that to everybody. Oh, you should just be happy. You know what I mean? You helped one person this month. You don't need to help anybody else. That's pretty good. There's a time you wouldn't help anybody. No, that's not what my Father has for me. The Father restored back to the son of the prodigal. He restored to him authority. He has restored unto him blessing. He restored unto him position. Why? He brought back what rightfully belongs to you. Some of you, I don't know who I'm speaking to. And none of this is on my notes, by the way, so the media team is all freaking out right now. But that's okay. That's why we haven't gone to a scripture. But all of a sudden, I sense in my spirit, there's many of you here, I don't know who it is. I do not know in the natural, but I feel there's people here. You have repented of your sins, but you have yet to step back into the restoration of what belongs to you. You're walking around as a second-rate Christian, just thankful that God forgave you, and then you're not going to hell. But you have yet to become who he's called you to become. You've yet to step into the authority he's called you to have. You've yet to receive what he's wanting to bring into your life. You're thinking, oh, it's good enough for me just to basically just get into heaven. But no, that's not the goodness of the Father. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. He wants to do that, but he wants to bring you back into what rightfully belongs to you. And what the enemy stole, he says, I want to restore back the years that the cankerworm and the caterpillar has eaten and restore, try to destroy out of you. No, let's not settle for just let's get by. Let's not settle for I just made it to heaven. Let's not settle, at least I'm forgiven. Let's rise up and be free in the spirit. Let's be free from the bondage. Let's be free from the torment. Let's step into what belongs to us. Let it be said of members of Hope Church that you are a shining light into your neighborhood, into your community, that you are not who you used to be, that you are frustrating your enemies, that even the people that know you can't understand you, because you are becoming all that belongs to you in Jesus. All that belongs to you in Jesus. All that belongs to you. The provision of God, the blessing of God, the protection of God, the favor of God, the healing of God. All that belongs to you. Don't settle for anything less. Believe that you receive them. Mark 11:24. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them. Walk in and say, I'm not going to live at a life I've always lived at. I'm going to begin to dare believe that if God said it, I can have it. I'm going to step into a new standard, new standard, new standard. And it's not new to God, it's new to you, because we're being awakened to what's available to us. If you believe that, give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. If the devil can't keep you out, he'll try to get you just go into dormant mode. If he can't keep you out, he'll try to just put you in the autopilot mode, in the passive mode. Oh, you don't need to volunteer. You don't need to witness. You don't need to serve God. You don't need to do anything. Don't get radical. Don't get weird. Don't be something that you're not. You got all those issues and problems, and you know it. So let's just stay there. Let's just think about, let's just cry in our milk. Let's just cry about things that aren't right. Let's just be sad and depressed. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God says, no, no, and a third time, no. Rise up, child of God. Rise up in the things that God's called you to be. Sometimes you have to shake off the dust. Sometimes you have to let go of the weight and the sin that so easily besets you. Sometimes you got to rise up and say, that's who I used to be, but I'm not going to be. I refuse to live with the pigs. I refuse to smell like the pigs. I refuse to look. I refuse to even have a hunger desire of what the pigs eat. No, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back to my Father. But Pastor, I tried that once and it didn't happen. You didn't stick with it long enough.
Right. That's right.
It's faith and patience.
That's right.
Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 11. Through faith and patience. That means it's just not a one time.
Right.
That's like going to the gym one time and walking away and saying, that gym's waste, stealing people's money. I went there once and I didn't get any better shape. In fact, it made it worse. I wouldn't recommend that to anybody. No, you don't do it one time.
Right?
I tried eating healthy one day. That's not for me. That didn't do anything. The scale actually went up. I gained a pound after eating healthy. I don't know what that problem is. Those people are lying to me. No, you just don't do it one time. I studied once, a student might say, and it didn't do so great. I'm going to go back to not studying. Now, why should I? No, you just don't do it one time. You got to keep doing it. Now, are you with me? You got to keep walking out of this thing. You got to keep moving toward your Father. You got to keep moving toward your Father. And as you do, guess what? Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, lift your hands and just give Him thanks right now. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you, Father God. Oh, we thank you, Father God. You are good. We give you thanks for you are good and your mercy endures forever. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Come on, out of your own mouth, begin to give Him thanks. Some of you haven't said anything out of your mouth in a long time when it comes to worship and praise and thanksgiving. You don't need songs on a screen. Come on, give them thanks right away. Begin to give them thanks. Give them thanks. Give them thanks. Give them thanks. Hallelujah. Come on, out of your own mouth, begin to tell Him how good He is. If you don't know what to say, just say, Father, I thank you. You are good. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. You didn't think you came to church to be an observer. You didn't come to church just to watch. You came to be a part of what God's doing. Begin to say, I bless your name, Father God. I bless you. I thank you. You are good. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Father God. We bless your name. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. We praise your name. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We thank you, Father God. For you are good. You are good. You are good. You are good. Your word works. Your word works. Hallelujah. Your word works, Father God. In every season, in every situation, your word works. Your word works. I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Thank you for your truth of your word. Hallelujah. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. Hallelujah. Brings freedom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father God. Some of you said, but I don't feel it. It's because you haven't started. That's why you don't feel it. You're waiting for the Father to show up and pick you up out of the pigsty. No, you're going to start moving toward Him. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. But I'm not feeling it. It didn't ask you if you felt anything emotionally. You got to draw near to God out of a desire of your heart. Amen. But everybody's saying, don't worry about what people are saying. Find out what God is saying. Let all men be liars and God be true. But it seems impossible. Yeah, that's from the natural observation, but not from the spiritual revelation. You get the revelation from the Word of God, and you can see from the Word that says that all things are possible to him or to whom believes. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'll give you one more chance. Some of you are like, I'm just going to watch. I'm not too sure I want to step into this. No, one more chance. Take the next 30 seconds. Are you ready? You got to get serious. I don't know who this is for, but I think it's for more than one or two. We got to get serious about the things of God. We can't be flippant and lighthearted and passive and casual and expect God to take us serious when we don't take him serious. You got to have a hunger in your heart. I want to encourage every one of you at the next 30 seconds, at the count of three, I want you to just lift your hands. I'm not used to it. It don't matter what you're used to. Stand on your feet, lift your hands, do what you want. Begin to give God thanks, for he is good. Are you ready? Are you ready? This is going to break off some of that stuff that's been holding you down. Those heavy hands, because I'm just offended. Forget your offense. Let it down. Forget that sin. Lay it down. Forget that hurt. Lay it down. Forget that fear. Lay it down. Forget that demon that's been tormenting you. Lay it down. You have a right. You have authority as a son and daughter of the Most High God. 1, 2, 3. Begin to give him thanks. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Come on, out of your mouth. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord, each and every person. Touch them, Holy Spirit, each and every person. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are good, Father God. You are good. You're so good. You're so good. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're desperate and hungry for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, to the key. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Father God, we worship you. We worship you. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I don't know about you, but I'm having fun right now. This wasn't planned, scheduled. It's not in my notes. This is not planned out. I thank the Holy Spirit just wanted to do that for somebody, if not many of us. Amen? Sometimes we get so caught up, we forget how good he is and all that he's done for us. We get so caught up with what is yet to be done, hallelujah, or to see in our life. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It used to be a song years ago. If I could sing, I'd sing it, but I'm not. When I think of his goodness and all that he's done for me. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:6, we'll throw this on the screen, says, be careful, or which means be anxious. Don't be intimidated or nervous or panicky. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Say, the peace of God. Many people wonder, how do I know if God's heard my prayers? You get confidence and you get peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. That means when it doesn't make sense why you have peace. That means the storm is still blowing, but you have peace. That means people are freaking out and accusing you like they did Jesus in the boat, but you still have peace. Jesus didn't come to their level. He rose up to his level. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The Bible says that when they woke up Jesus, who was asleep, laying down, and said, why don't you care that we're about to die? He didn't come down to their level. He rose up to his level. Sometimes when the problems of life and people are coming at you, you'll have a tendency, human nature, to try to come down to their level. Don't come down to their level. Rise up to your level. The Bible says that Jesus stood up. What is he doing? He's standing up and he's going to his level, his authority, his position, and he's top. Are you listening to me? He is the top. He's the highest. All authority is under him. Amen? So you don't have to come down to the level of people. You need to rise up to the level that God's called you to be in and make a difference. Oh, I'm just trying to be understanding. No, what you're doing is you're pacifying them and lowering yourself. Rise up and be the light. The light doesn't need to be dimmed just so it makes people in darkness feel better. No, light shines. And there are some people who will not run to the light. They'll run to the darkness, but that's okay. But when the light is shining, the darkness cannot, John 1, comprehend it. John 1 and John 3 cannot comprehend it, can't hold it back. It's defeated. Amen. Your victory is in the light. Your victory, I hear the Spirit of God saying, is in the light. Your victory is in the light, not in fighting in the darkness. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. The peace, God's peace, will keep your heart and your mind. When we begin to pray with thanksgiving. Mark 11, 24 says, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and then you shall have them. Right. And so you could draw from there that when I'm praying, I begin to get in thanksgiving. What I'm doing is thanking God for what he's already done that I've yet to see in the natural. Yes. I begin to believe that I receive it before I have it, right. Mark 11, 24. That's kind of a weird thing that God asks us to do, that Jesus is talking. That when you pray and you're asking, believe that you have already received it, and then you shall have it. But when you begin to give God thanks, it begins to change the atmosphere and attitude of your perspective when you realize that all good things have already come down from the heaven, from the Father of lights. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. How did he do it? Through the cross of Calvary, through Jesus. And you begin, the moment you begin to ask, the Word of God says, before they ask, I will have already answered. You're waiting for an answer. God said, I've already answered before you knew there was a request. Before you knew there was a need. I want you to have that perspective. When you pray, God already knew you were going to pray. He sees the end as equally clearly as he does the beginning. He's in all phases. And before you prayed, he's already saw that you would have a need. And Jehovah Jireh is more than than one of the names of God as the God who's your provider. It literally means the God who saw your need before you even knew there was a need and backed it up in time and made provision through the cross. He's already, before you ran into a problem, you're not asking God to create the solution. You're just saying, Father, I thank you. I'm asking you for the access to what already belongs to me. And I'm not going to stay here and embrace what the enemy's trying to do for me or against me or steal. I don't need to let the devil camp out in my living room. No, he's got to go. I have a right to say, no, devil, that might be where you've been for a long time and you're already getting your mail. And some of you know it takes time to get your address changed when you're getting mail. And devil's been there so long in some of our lives that he knows he's already getting mail. He is already getting phone calls. But no, you can say, I don't care how long you've been there, but I've been here so long, I don't care. I like it, I don't care. But they want me, I don't care. I've just learned that you don't have a right to be here, and I have a right to give you walking papers. I believe that I receive my healing. I believe I receive my protection. I believe I receive peace of mind. Come on, somebody. Abraham believed. He glorified God. Romans 4. Not looking to his own flesh, the weakness of it, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb, but believing that the God who made the promise. Yes. So when you begin to give God thanks, you begin to, we saw last week, you begin to give him thanks for who he is. He is good. Yes, he is your healer. Yes. He is your provider. Yes. He is your protector. Yes. He is your strength. Yes. And when you begin to see him in that light, all of a sudden it affects what you can receive. Yes. Did you hear me? See, you're not trying to get something from God he doesn't have. He's generous. Say, my Heavenly Father is generous. God, I'm going to work some of you. Some of us have been around religion so long, we're afraid to even talk what the Word says. Look to your neighbor and say, your Heavenly Father is very, 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 very generous. And then, and according to James, you ought to look at him and say, and if you don't believe that, you need to ask for wisdom. Come on, somebody. And he'll give you wisdom so you can see how good he is. Woo. That's why he asked you to be generous, because he has made so much available to you that if you don't understand generosity out of your own life, you don't, you'll become spoiled, greedy, covetous. Keeping everything for yourself. That's why he wants you to be generous, because you keep, when you're generous, you're saying, I thank you, Father, it's all coming from you, and I want to be just like you, and what I've received, I'm going to give. Genesis 12, 2, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. Yes. It just keeps you in that flow of what God's doing. Amen. And just not with money. Some of you need to practice being generous with your kindness. Come on, somebody. Generous with your mercy. Come on, somebody. Generous with your forgiveness. Come on, somebody. Be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. With thanksgiving. Let your request, when you begin to bring thanksgiving in the ingredient of your prayer request, you begin to see who He is. And you begin to give Him thanks for what He's already done. Now you're just walking this thing out because He's brought peace in your life. And so you know, oh, it's mine. Mark 11:24. I have that healing. Well, show me the doctor's report. No, no, no. It'll happen. That'll happen through faith and patience. But I already own it. It's mine. It's like a woman getting pregnant. She goes, ah, good news, I'm pregnant. Well, show me the baby. You can't see the baby yet, but I got life on the inside of me. And see, that life of the Word of God on the inside of you with your prayers is the peace of God, the confidence of God. It doesn't make sense in the natural because in this outside I see storm, but the inside I have rest. On the outside I see problems. Inside I have the peace of God, which exceeds my understanding. Why? Because I believe I've already received. But it's not just in receiving what you're praying for that this principle comes true. It also has another side to it. And that side is not only seeing what you've already received that belongs to you, because the enemy will try to talk you out of it. But like we already went down that road, we got to learn to say, devil, that's not enough. I'm going to continue until I fulfilled my course, finished my race. That was what Paul said, was it not? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. You know, I'm not satisfied that, ooh, I was there. Well, I saw a race. I ran in it for a little bit. At least I got the shoes. No, God wants you to run the race and to finish it. Amen. Don't stop your race. Don't quit your race. Don't stop your race too soon. Finish the race, what God's called you to do. Can I get an amen? And part of that is just not knowing who your Heavenly Father is so that you can receive from Him. Part of that is understanding who you are. Because if you don't see yourself as the healed of the Lord, accepting healing is tough. If you don't see yourself as strong in the Lord, but I feel so weak. I know, and the Bible says, let those who are weak say, well, that makes no sense. Come on, that makes, in the natural mind, some of you are sitting there like, that doesn't make it. It doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody who's weak say, I'm strong? There must be something they're seeing that the rest of us aren't. There must be something going on that we're not, that's not obvious to the average person. And you know what? There is. There is. Because when you begin to say, I'm strong, even though you feel weak, what you're doing is you're seeing by revelation and not by observation. What you're doing is saying, I have something that belongs to me by the covenant of what my Father's provided to me. And though I might not see it in the natural yet, it belongs to me. And I'm going to believe that I have received it so that I can touch it and it be materialized. Listen, it's not a game. It's not a game. And I say it over and over again. This is not about getting people hyped up of what belongs to them in the realm of God, but they don't see it in the realm of the natural. No, God wants to bring what is in the kingdom of heaven into the life of, that you materialize, that you can touch. This three-dimensional world. We can talk all day one part, but if you can never show somebody, Jesus said, you will know them by the fruit. If you can't show the fruit of it in the process of time, something's wrong. Now there is, if you say, oh, I'm pregnant with a baby, and it's been 4 years, something's wrong if there's no baby yet. Right? There is a process of patience, okay? But there is a process of patience, faith and patience, but there is the reality of delivery. Sometimes in the faith world, we get so caught up in the process of the development that we forget of delivery. And there is a process of development where the baby's growing on the inside of you. But there is a day of delivery. There is a day of delivery. There is a day. And some of us, we have forgotten that there is a day of delivery, and we get so caught up in the day of, in the process of development, that we'll spend our whole lives thankful that we have the revelation and we're hanging on to it. But no, you got to work it out. Paul says, work out your own salvation. We got to put to works that miracle. We have to put to action. Faith without works is dead. We got to work this thing out because there is an estimated time from the Father that He wants that baby to be delivered, that He wants that miracle brought forth, that He wants you to be blessed. Not in a matter where you walk and just say, ooh, I feel so blessed, but where you could take out your checkbook and bless somebody. Because if you can't spend it, you're not there yet. Come on, somebody. If you can't run it, you're not there yet. Right. If people that don't know God can't see it, you're not there yet. And that doesn't mean you're bad. You're bad. You're still in the process. Amen. But Matthew 13 is very specific. If the devil can't keep you on the journey, he'll try to entice you on a detour to keep you from continuing to produce fruit. But it's the desire of your Father. And what helps is not just knowing who your Father is and what he's already provided. Are you listening to me? Am I throwing too much at you? But it's learning to identify who you are in him. James chapter 1 verse 23 says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a what?
Mirror.
New Living says, in a mirror. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Some of you need to think about it. It'll help you out before you go to church. Glance at the mirror. Make sure everything's in place. Make sure everything looks right. He said, if you're a hearer of the word and not doer, it's like a person who looks in the mirror and you see yourself. What are you doing? You see yourself. That's not you in the mirror. That's a reflection of you. The mirror is a reflection of you. So the mirror is not the reality. It's the reflection of reality. It's a reflection of you. You're facing a mirror and you see yourself and you walk away and forget what you look like. King James says you forget what manner of person you are. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, which is the word of God, which is now, we see what it refers to as the mirror. But if you look into the word of God, the perfect law of liberty that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Why? Because when you spend time in the word, hearing the word, reading the word, and obeying the word, what does it do? Take all the other stuff out of it. Just go to the one point for the moment. What does it do? It shows you the reflection of your true identity. It shows you the reflection of who you really are.
Yes.
And that's why a person who's weak can say, I am strong, not because they're parroting or repeating it, but because they see from the word that they are called to be strong in the Lord. It didn't say feel strong. It said be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the armor of God.
Yes.
What's happening? You begin to look into the word of God and see the reflection of who you are in identity. And now all of a sudden, your standard raises. Your standard raises. Why? Because the Heavenly Father already has the standard set.
Right.
Sin will try to get you to lower the standard. Sometimes, some people, they don't need the devil. They hinder themselves. They devour their own destiny with their words and their actions. Why? Because in their own mind, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve it because the devil's convinced them they're not worth it. Well, I don't know if God really wants to do that for me. I don't think. It's not about you. It's about who you belong to and the desire of your Father. We prayed that prayer years ago, and it just came back to me. Remember on a corporate site, I prayed, Lord, embarrass us with your goodness.
Yeah.
Some of you are like, oh, I don't need to do that. That might, I don't want to draw attention. You know, I'm just going to fly below the radar. I don't need a big raise. Just give me just a little bit to help me pay rent. You know what I mean? I don't need. How about if all of a sudden you're the talk of your business that you just got the biggest raise? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
How about if you're the talk of the doctor's office that you just went to a complete recovery? We just had another miracle last week. A person was sharing with me. He was in excruciating pain, went to the hospital, and had, he said it was like golf ball or softball things in his stomach. He said it was excruciating pain. Went to the hospital, called one of our ministers, and they not only prayed with them, but they got directed them where to get a list of 100 scriptures on healing. And he began to read those scriptures and pray those scriptures and thank God for that. And in the process, they went and they did a colonoscopy looking for and did an x-ray. And when they did the x-ray, it was gone. They're like, something's not right. So they said, we're going to do a colonoscopy because we need to get in there and see what's going on. And they did a colonoscopy, couldn't find anything. And the doctor looked at him and said, I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him I was praying or believing. I didn't say. And he said, the doctor says, I don't understand. Not only do we not see anything, he said, a man of your age should have polyps somewhere, and we don't see any polyps.
Wow. Yes.
He jokingly said, so what you're telling me is that I'm younger on the inside than on the outside? And they said, actually, yeah. And he said, Pastor, what's even more amazing is not only did God heal me in my stomach where there was an obstruction in my bowels. He said, but all of a sudden, he goes, I for years have dealt with arthritis in my hands and I couldn't even hold. He said, the arthritis is gone. He said, my back would hurt and I could only turn a certain point. And he's a truck driver. And he said, and I would have to work, maneuver. And he said, my neck and back's fine. He said, God healed me in more areas than he even asked. Why? Because your God is a good God. Let your heavenly Father set the standard and quit arguing with your God about how good he is. And begin to say, Father God, you want me forgiven. You want my conscience to be clean and clear. You don't want me to have any condemnation. You want me to be in the joy of the Lord. You want me to walk in peace, your word says. You want me to be free from all sin and demonic activity. You want me to be over the devil. You want me to have authority over demons. You want me to have authority over situations. I thank you, Father. It doesn't make sense. I can't see in the natural how it's going to happen. But I'm going to get in your word and I'm going to trust you. And as I study your word, I'm going to begin to see who I am through you. For 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. The whole verse is, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. The word judgment is also in the day of trust, day of testing. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment or the day of testing. You might be tested. Don't blame God for all the stuff that comes your way. Oh, everything comes from the hand. No, the devil's a thief to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Right. He's starting to creep in there. A thief doesn't get permission to do something. Well, he doesn't have authority. Why is it God allowed? Because that's what a thief does. It doesn't, authority, a thief doesn't work on authority. They're in violation of authority until someone of a greater authority recognizes them and stops them.
Right.
So there'll be times of testing where your mind tells you to give in, your emotions tell you to quit. But in the day of testing, you can have boldness. You can have peace. Why? Notice this. Because as he, read with me, church, as he is, so are we in where? This world. Not just when you get to heaven. This world, you can become a light. You can become all that God wants you to be. As he is, so are we in this world. When you begin to get a hold of that, you understand the power of an ambassador. That in the Old Testament, when you sent an ambassador, representative, it was if you were there yourself. When you get a hold of this, you'll begin to understand that when you wake up in the morning, demons should tremble. Because as an ambassador of God, guess what they see? They see Jesus. I knew that would go real well. Well, you just don't know what I'm dealing with. You forgot who you serve and who you are in him. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And you can stay at your level and still make heaven and will love you all the way through. But for those who are listening, who are hungry, that says, I know that my Redeemer lives and he has more in store. And I want to do all that he wants me to do. I want to become all who he wants me to become. I want to have all that he wants me to have. I want to help all who he's called me to help. For those people, you have to understand, you got to get your eyes off yourself like Abraham did and get to the point of the God. Don't look to yourself of what you can and can't do. But Romans 4, he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able to make it happen. Do you believe that? Take the next 30 seconds. Give him a praise. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Will you bow your head and close your eyes if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? In the way you process, experience, think, is Jesus real to you today in the way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? If you can't answer yes to that, then this is your opportunity. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before. Maybe this is the first time you've ever been in church. Or maybe you've been around a lot of churches and it was all about rules and not about a relationship. And you find yourself getting exhausted trying to be a better person instead of resting in who he's made you to be. the reality of righteousness because of the blood of Jesus. It's not you trying to earn it or work it. Your works are an expression of your reality and your relationship, not to obtain that relationship. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know him and you'd like to be saved, have your sins forgiven. Know that you're going to heaven because good people don't go to heaven. Forgiven people go to heaven. If you're like, I need this. I want that weight of sin. I want that burden. I want to know true life on the inside like I've never experienced before. Then let this prayer come from your heart. Repeat this with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Give him a big hand clap if you would.